Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Our subject today is greed, the deadly sin of covetousness or greed. Greed is a sin. When we come to the New Testament, there's a Greek word, pleonexia, which is sometimes translated in our Bibles greed, and sometimes it's translated covetousness. It's the same thing.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Contrary to what you may have heard, greed is not good. It's a far-reaching sin, one with the power to destroy lives and society. This insatiable craving for more puts our desires before others and before God. Today on The Verdict, we're learning how to overcome the sin of greed. So continuing our study on the seven deadly sins, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Today we continue to deal with the deadly sin of greed. None of us like greed, but most of us would probably admit that sometimes we are greedy. Greed demonstrates a fixation on self and our selfish desires. In this sense, Scripture makes it clear that greed is a form of idolatry, where I put myself and my desires above God. I think we can all understand that greed leads to other sins, such as deception, theft, and even violence. We also see greed where companies and individuals disregard the environment and deplete and destroy our natural resources. So, this sin of greed has many manifestations. Let's look today at the cure for greed. Yes, there is a cure. So Scripture gives clear warning. Greed is destructive. It will wreck your life. It is a deadly sin. Let's read a parable Jesus told about this in Luke chapter 12. This is a brilliant parable, rather short, easy to understand, but very, very convicting. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Jesus is telling you, are you listening to him? This is the word of God to you and to me. Be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He told them a parable to illustrate it. Here's the point. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. That's great. Good farmer. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I've nowhere to store my crops." What a problem. Not going to warehouses for his successful farming. "I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods." It's good. Nothing wrong so far, is there? He's a businessman. He's expanding. You can't criticize him for that. In fact, in some ways, he's to be complimented. He's very successful. He's expanding his business. Here's the problem. Verse 19, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax." Time to retire. You've done well. Eat, drink, be merry. He's covetous, but I think he's also a glutton, don't you? And I think he's going to be slothful in his retirement. God said to him, notice what God says to him, what God calls him, fool. All of us would like to think we are wise. The book of Proverbs is written that we are to be wise. What's the first characteristic of wisdom? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10. This man does not live his life in the fear of God. He lives it in his own accomplishment, in the abundance of his possessions. And God calls him a fool. If your life consists in what you have, your success and your business, God says you're a fool. This night, your soul is required of you. And the things you've prepared, whose will they be? All this crops you've got stored up, who's going to get them now? Here's the conclusion, verse 21. So is the one who lays up treasure for who? For himself. And is not rich toward God. This man is greedy. It's all about him. I'm going to do this. I've done well. I'll relax. I'll have a great time. But he has not laid up treasure in heaven. He's laid up treasure in himself. And in a moment, in the parable, he's gone. God takes them. Then who's going to get all the things that you had? Do you ever think about that? Ecclesiastes tells us of the guy who works hard, stores it up, and then he dies and he leaves it to a fool who just spends it all. Is that really what you want? You've done very, very well. But perhaps it's become an idol. How much did he leave when he died, this man? Everything. He was not rich towards God. Are you rich towards God? Now here is, very quickly, three cures for greed. I'm going to give you a prescription, and it's got three parts. The three things I want you to understand. First of all, here's the cure for greed, contentment. Contentment. Turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll see the difference between greed and contentment. When we're greedy, we're not content. And what's the answer? We need an eternal perspective. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember last week we said we're to pursue godliness, we're to pursue God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. You came naked, and we can't take anything out of the world. You will leave naked. For if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You got food today? You got a roof over your head? I don't see any naked people sitting here. All of you have got clothes. Be content with that. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich, some of you desire to be rich. It's one of your goals. You're very proud of your achievements. Tell people how much you're worth. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. If you pursue, if you have this love of money, you're on a very dangerous path and you're going to wreck your soul, because if you love money, you've forgotten that you're to love God first. And if you pursue that love of money, young man, your life, from a spiritual standpoint, will be disastrous. No, godliness with contentment is great gain. Turn back to the little epistle of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul talks out of his own experience. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Paul's learned that. I'm still learning that. Contentment does not come easily to me. By nature, I'm a restless person. I want to do something. I want to achieve something. And that's good. Good to be ambitious, provided you're ambitious for God. Paul said, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. You know how it is to be humiliated, to have little, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How wonderful. Paul, in all of his varying experiences in life, he had times of abundance and times of need. Whatever circumstance, he says, I've learned to be content. Isn't that wonderful? I've known some people who are like that. Sadly, they are unusual in our busy society, isn't it? The secret of being content. Hebrews chapter 13, again, a well-known verse, a verse that some of you have memorized. I have it underlined just the other day in my new Bible. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from love of money. There it is. Do you hear this today? How many of you really need to hear this? Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Well, you always want more and more, and what are you going to do with it? You say, I run a business. This is good. Nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong in being successful. In fact, hard work is commended. And if God has given you a good business brain and you're using it and God is blessing you financially, be thankful. But remind yourself that that can be a snare. Not the money, but the love of money. Make sure you're laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. Be content with what you have, for he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How wonderful that whatever you do, Paul had learned this, in abundance and need, God is with me. Therefore, I'm going to be content. The man said, I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Remember in Luke chapter 3, the time of John the Baptist, the soldiers are told, be content with your wages. Are you content? You're an employee. Are you content with what you have? You say, well, I really deserve more. I know that. You're this tremendous employee, but God is saying to you, be content. Be content. So first part of the cure is contentment. Secondly, linked to that, is faith in God. The just shall live by faith. When we're greedy, we're not living by faith. We're saying that God isn't going to take care of us. You think you need this? We get greedy. And you know what greed does? You know what greed produces? It doesn't produce nice people, does it? A greedy person isn't very nice. They're not a good friend. You know what it does? It produces anxiety and worry. I read just this week that was about 70% of working Americans experience some anxiety in terms of their work. And I'm sure part of that relates to money. We're a very anxious people. We're a very restless people. We're not at peace. What's happened? We've lost the secret of contentment. Again, I say, this is not an appeal to be lazy. We dealt with sloth. God wants us to be ambitious. God wants us to work hard, but it is for his glory. I must always remember that. And when God blesses you, take it from the good hand of God. Now, do you believe that God can give you anything he chooses? Do you believe that God's provision is inexhaustible? Obviously, yes. Therefore, I'm to trust him. Do you believe that God can meet all your needs? Therefore, trust him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret, isn't it? Through Christ. I'm to find my joy, my identity in my money? No. In what I have? No. I'm to find my joy, my satisfaction, my identity in Christ, the all-sufficient Christ who promises me, John, whatever the circumstances, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Think of the worst thing that can happen to you in life, and God will never, ever, ever desert you. In the darkest of night, wherever you go into that surgery room alone, no, Christ is with you. You deal with that devastating family situation, Christ is with us. We are to trust Christ. This is hard for us, isn't it? But this is what it means to live by faith. My trust is in Christ. Remember in the Old Testament how God provided them through the wilderness when they got their food, angel food? They complained about it as well. It came every day, other than the day before the Sabbath. And Moses told him, when you collect that manna, only collect it for that one day. There were some greedy Israelites. You know what they did? They took extra. You know what happened to it? It got full of worms. God was teaching his people. God is teaching us. I am to live day by day. What's part of the Lord's Prayer? Give me what? This day, our daily bread. This day, God will supply your need. Trust him. As I say, you've got food, you've got clothes. God is with you today. God will give you all of the strength, all of the wisdom you need today. Have faith in God. Trust God today. Stop being greedy. Stop worrying. Trust God. This is what it means to live by faith every day. Every day I need to remind myself of this. I live in the same world as you do. I have the same temptations as you do. None of us are immune. Day by day, I'm to trust God. I'm to have faith in God. First, contentment. Second, the faith in God. Third, generosity. Generosity, coupled with thankfulness, is the cure for greed. Generosity breaks the stranglehold of greed. I read from 1 Timothy 6 about the love of money. 1 Timothy 6, further down the chapter, verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. Don't be proud if you're rich, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, on the uncertainty of the stock market, on the uncertainty of your employment. Don't do that. Who are you to set your hope on? On God. I love that Paul says this, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God's blessed you, mature. Enjoy it from the good hand of God. What are you to do? You're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Isn't that wonderful? Generous. Generosity. Everything you have belongs to the Lord. God gives you these gifts. God gives you everything you've got. You are not the owner of your resources, but a steward, and you're accountable to God. You're answerable to God. How are you using the gifts of God and the resources of God for the kingdom of God? Let me ask you. You asked this before the Lord. I asked myself this week as I prayed about this. Are you a generous person? Wouldn't you expect Christians of all people to be the most generous? Is God generous? Do we have a generous, kind God? Absolutely. We learned as we're going through Ephesians that God blesses us, what? According to the riches of his grace. He lavishes his grace upon us. He gives us grace upon grace. We are saved by the mercy of God, the riches of his mercy, Paul says. He can't get enough words, superlatives to explain the bounty of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God. God is incredibly kind, infinite in his kindness. Therefore, what about those who are followers of Christ? I mean, I think that's a real sign, isn't it? If you're a follower of Christ and you're not a generous person, generous. Let me ask you, are you generous? Do you give to the Lord? See, greedy people are not generous. That's a good test for you. Greedy people are not generous. Now, you can make all the excuses you like. And I've heard many of them. I've heard many, many people try to get out of not giving generously to the Lord. You can have all of the excuses, but isn't it at the center of it, you're greedy? You're not trusting God. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, you need to read these if you're not giving generously. Paul explains that every follower of the Lord is to give. And he talks about the Macedonians who are very poor, and he tells us that they gave out of the abundance of their poverty. They're poor people, but they give abundantly and generously. And I've seen that in ministry, that some of the poorest people are the most generous. This week I received a check for Verdict. We have the radio program. It goes many places, goes into prisons. And I've been corresponding with this man who's in prison for a very long time. And I sent him one of our booklets. I sent it free. Not going to charge a guy in prison. Sent it free. To my amazement this week, I get a check. Not to me, to the Verdict Ministry. From a prisoner, it's for $5.55. Now, some of you have been in prison. You know you don't make a lot of money in prison. You say, well, it's only $5. You know, that prisoner who claims to be a follower of Christ, he's demonstrating his generosity. We produce these booklets not to make money, through the generosity of you, that we're able to do this ministry, that we can reach out to the nations with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can have a family day and not charge people, so that people who are on the fringes and may not be even believers in Jesus Christ, they can come and we can get to know them and understand the grace of God. We don't want anything from them. We want them to receive the grace of God. Having received it, we are the most generous. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also you are to do on the first day of every week. Each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. First day of the week, what do you do? You store up as God has prospered. You're rich, you give much. You're poor, you just give a little. God owns everything anyhow. It's a demonstration of our love for Christ. Don't be greedy. Don't be a taker. Be a giver. Be generous. Be like God, who so loved the world. What did he do? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. God gave his Son, his very best, for your salvation. Now we who are his followers are to be generous. And that is a great cure for the sin of greed. Receive, if you've never done it, the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so, our Father and our God, we pray. We thank you that you're not a greedy God. You're the very opposite. You are infinite in your kindness. And so we pray, Father, that we'll not be greedy. Bring peace to troubled hearts. May we know what it is to experience godliness with contentment. That pleases you, that gives peace to us. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message about the sin of greed. And to go along with our new study on the seven deadly sins, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the powerful new booklet John has put together to help you follow along with the lessons in this series. Let's face it, sin impacts every one of us. And to fully understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and our need for salvation, it's necessary to have a clear understanding of the reality and the implications of sin. So reach out today and get your copy of John's essential booklet titled Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. Just go to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're on our homepage, you'll also want to sign up for John's email newsletter, where he shares exciting updates and sneak peeks at everything coming up here at The Verdict. Just click the tab at the top that says Sign Up for Email. And if you value the gospel work of this ministry, we invite you to be a part of our radio outreach and help us share these biblical teachings with new listeners this year by giving a financial gift. Your generous contributions help cover the cost of delivering the truth of God's Word through the radio to your neighbors, your community, and to new listeners all around the world. To partner with us today, just go to theverdict.org. Or if you'd prefer to mail your financial gift, just address your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Have you acknowledged the greed in your life? The sin of greed can be devastating in your own life and in the lives of those around you. I remember my grandfather, who was a fisherman, never made much money, but he had contentment and a peace about him, which came from his deep faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, instead of focusing on what you don't have, thank God for what you do have. Instead of always taking, give generously instead and demonstrate the grace and the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.